Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. Sorry, Jeff. It was the conversation prior to the show. I just can't stop laughing. Anyway, we are Truth Revolution, where faith and reason meet in sometimes a very comedic mash fashion.
Do I need to take over the host duties of the show?
Maybe for today, please.
What is going on?
I'm just kidding.
All right. Anyway, today we're talking about the flat earth. I'm Pastor Jeff. This is Pastor Dave from Revolution Church.
Hi, how you doing?
I am funny. He's laughing because I'm hilarious.
Yeah, you're hilarious.
Well, we're talking about something that's not very funny today. Actually, it might be super hilarious.
Right. And it's one of those things that actually causes a lot of laughing from one side to the other, but not a lot of laughing from the other side. What are we talking about today?
Talking about the flat earth.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of people that like to make fun of the flat earthers.
And I am one of them.
You gotta admire their tenacity.
Obviously, we don't believe in a flat earth. If you've listened to our show at all, you would know that we don't go anywhere near that. Someone had asked us if we'd done a show on it, and I was like, why haven't we done a show on this?
We may have done a small segment before.
Yeah, but. And initially I thought, well, let's have on some of the guys, some reasons to believe, some of the scientist friends we have, and they talk about the reasons, the scientific reasons for why the Earth is round. But you know what? You guys can Google that. You can find a million reasons why the Earth is round and how to know that. NASA even has a cool link that says your kids themselves can prove that the Earth is round. So just Google stuff like that. That's why today we're going to talk about the biblical reasons.
Not the conspiracy theories.
Not the conspiracy theory. We're actually going to look at an article that someone wrote that basically teaches that the Earth is flat. And they say the Bible says the Earth is flat. So we're going to examine these verses, and he gives dozens of verses to show that the earth is flat in the Bible. And so we want to read it and basically explain why the Bible doesn't support a flat earth.
Right.
And basically my stance is the Bible doesn't take a stance on the shape of the earth.
Right, because that's not what it's there for.
Oh yeah, that's right. So we're going to get into this. The title of the article is called The Biblical Flat Earth, The Teaching from Scripture. It's by Philip Stallings. He is the... He is the founder of the Biblical Flat Earth Society.
Now you're laughing. What's
up? I'm sorry. A former seminary student. Maybe you should have finished seminary.
Right.
I'm sorry. We don't normally make... I should stop. We don't make fun of people.
You should really stop, Jeff.
I don't make fun of atheists.
Shame on you.
I don't make fun of atheists. I don't make fun of skeptics.
Right.
I don't want to make fun of flat earth people because actually these people are intelligent people.
They are.
And for some reason they've become convinced the earth is flat for probably intelligent reasons. They've got reasons to believe what they believe.
Right.
And so we're going to examine the scriptures, and although it makes it me kind of laugh.
It is really not a laughing matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well,
kind of. Okay, anyway, we're not going to make fun of them.
Right.
I do think it's kind of funny. And I think it's funny. You've probably laughed at it a little bit yourself because we've grown up our whole lives. And really, there's a myth that like Galileo discovered the earth was round. Not true. People have known for thousands of years that the earth was round. And so this has not been a debate in modern science.
Yeah,
right. Or even a little bit old science. So, you know, Columbus didn't think the earth was flat. No one thought he was going to sail his ship off the end of the earth. He wasn't trying to prove the earth was round.
Right.
But that's all the scientific and historic stuff. Let's get into the Bible, okay? This is the guy's article, and he writes, "As a Christian, the flat earth begins and ends with scripture. While the evidence continues to mount and has for the flat earth, I must begin by saying the scripture told you so."
All right.
So, yeah, he's pretty clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go ahead, Dave. Let's read his first argument.
His first argument, it says, just like many people have been deceived by regarding evolution.
Let's start on the highlighted parts.
Thanks for the guidance there. Isaiah 40, verse 22, it says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in."
Okay. So, this verse is often used by round earthers,
right? It's really hard. It's really odd to say that.
Yeah,
I'm a round earther.
to show that the earth is round, right? And so he's quoting it, and he's going to tackle it. Here's his take on it.
All right, the typical Christian response was to point out that the word circle here is in fact proving that the earth was a ball. I remembered even then thinking that it didn't seem right to me.
We all know that a circle is and is what a circle is, and it is not a ball. In fact, the Hebrew word used in this verse is kug, pronounced chug, sorry. The word literally means circle.
Yeah, so this is interesting. It does. And this is a great time just to pause and explain how the Bible works. Because right out the gate, we have two groups of people who are using the scripture the wrong way. You have the flat earthers who will use this scripture, circle, to just say, see, the Bible says it's a circle, and they, flat earthers, don't think the earth is a square.
Right.
Typically, they think it is a flat circle.
Absolutely, a disc,
and basically. So, yeah, and so they use this for their point of view. And round earthers say, well, this shows that the earth is round, that it's like a ball. Mm-hmm. But that neither one of these people are correct to use this verse that way.
Okay.
God is, let's just explain how the Bible works. God is not chiseling his words into stone. Okay, the only time that happened was with Moses, that God chiseled some words into stone.
Right.
It is God's Holy Spirit who carries these men along, who wrote down in their own cultures and their own styles the very words of God. So people who wrote this, wrote the Bible, are communicating God's words, but they're communicating it in their culture to those people in their own words and in their own way.
Right.
All right. The Bible is not a science book. It's not intended to be a science book. It is intended to communicate truth about God, truth about salvation, and even our ontology. Okay. That's like the nature of our existence.
Right.
All right. That's why the Bible exists. It is the words of God, but God's intention is important. God is not trying to teach you about the shape of the earth. If God was trying to teach you about the shape of the earth, it would be really clear.
Right. He would have made it very obvious.
And it would have been all over. Okay. Mm-hmm. When God speaks in each of these successive verses we're going to read today, I want you to listen and go, okay, is God trying to teach me a science lesson here? Or is God getting after some other point and we're trying to like pull something out that's not really there?
Right.
Okay, all the time we use words. This is why we have a cracked acronym that we use to interpret the Bible with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We have the D for dialect. Mm-hmm. We use words colloquially, right? Just in regular ways. Man, Dave, you're looking hot, right?
Thanks.
I mean, you look
like the sun.
No, you're looking. You're looking good. That's what I meant. You're looking great, yeah. Right? It doesn't mean that he is sweaty and on fire. Nothing like that. Again, the Bible is the same way. It uses these colloquial words to communicate bigger expressions. The Bible is not a textbook that only gives 2 + 2 = 4. It's not giving equations. It's human language,
right,
that God is using. So if God speaks and uses the word circle here, which he did, actually, what's interesting, if you look up the Hebrew, a closer translation, it could be circle or it could be horizon.
Oh.
It's actually communicating the ancient Near East view of the earth, where the earth was on top of a primeval ocean. But that doesn't even mean that God's trying to communicate that view.
Right.
The D, like we said, for dialect is important, right? We speak in the culture we're in. We use the type of language we're in. The point of Isaiah back then, when he was using the type of language they used in their culture, wasn't to point out, oh, well, I think there's a circle and that's what the earth is and it's flat. He didn't say that. He
missed the point.
The whole point of Isaiah chapter 40 was to say how amazing God was and how weak false idols are.
Right.
So imagine a prophet comes from God, and he tells these people, God is strong, God is powerful, and your idols are nothing. God is above the sphere of the earth, sitting in outer space, circling the sun. All right, let's imagine that he gives an accurate scientific description. They'll all miss the point.
Right.
Right. He's talking about how great God is and how worthless the idols are. They're gonna be like, hold up. What did you just say about the earth thing? Could you repeat that earth thing again?
Oh, it's a sphere. That must be what he's trying to point out, right?
Right. Like, again, I mean, these people are probably even going to reject the prophet's message because they'll be like, you don't even know how the earth works.
Right.
Because
there
he would
go.
Have, he
exactly.
would have, he would have appeared ignorant to them. Mm-hmm. If God were to send a prophet to you today and describe to you a scientific theory that is so beyond our understanding of how the world works that it would seem crazy.
Right. We would put him in a nut house.
We would put him in a nut house, mm-hmm. even though it was correct.
Right.
If someone would have tried to describe DNA and mitochondria to someone from 3,000 years ago, they would have been like, look at me. No, you are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God's not concerned with communicating the correct scientific truth here. He's just using the language they use to communicate a truth about God.
Right.
That's all he's doing. This is not giving science lessons.
Right, and that's the way the Bible is throughout. The Bible is basically giving, it's to glorify God, not to teach us a science lesson.
Exactly. You know? This is one of the reasons why we believe the earth is old. Mm-hmm. Because Genesis 1, 2, and 3, when you read it, it's not attempting to communicate how old the earth is. Right. There's a bigger thing going on mm-hmm. there. And anytime we take the Bible and we're like, it's a science book, we have to treat it like a science book, we're missing what God's point was. Do I believe the Bible is inerrant? Yes. Do I believe it's infallible? Yes. Do I believe everything in there is true? Yes. I think it's right when you read it the way it was intended.
Amen.
All right. So now we're going to go in, we're going to look at some of the verses that this guy claims prove that the earth is flat.
Okay.
And we're going to use the understanding of the Bible that is the right way to understand the Bible.
Okay. All right. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Matthew 4:8.
All right, keep going. He explains.
Notice that the mountain was very high. In the Greek here, the word for high is hupsilos, I guess, and means literally high or lofty. Add to that the Greek word very, which is leon, and we now have a very intentional description of this. If the world is a ball, the higher one goes, the less one would be seeing of the earth because the curvature would be constantly falling and you would have to look further and further down. However, if the earth were flat, then the higher you go, the more you will see the horizon stays at eye level. The horizon rises to the eye. It seems to me that Jesus was taken to a very high mountain and could literally see all the kingdoms of the world.
What you just said, everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Let's be honest, that was me saying it, so.
Okay. My biggest problem with what they just did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's saying they literally took Jesus to the super high mountain.
Right.
So that he could literally see all the kingdoms of the earth. And he's saying, don't be stupid. This is not a metaphor, all right? This is not what did he call it? I don't remember. He said, this is literal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It can't, let's just assume the earth is flat. It still can't be literal because you can't see 4,000 miles.
Right.
You can't. You get up. Have you ever been up in an airplane?
I have.
And looked out the window mm-hmm. on the clearest of clear days.
Right.
I mean, maybe with eyes and a telescope.
Yeah, definitely not with my eyes.
You can see 150 miles.
Right.
You know, you're not going to, maybe with the naked eye. I don't know how far you can see with the naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
7 miles or something. You know what? We should Google that, Dave. Don't you think we should Google that?
Yeah. You got it right there. But the thing is that when you're in an airplane, are you not most likely higher than the highest mountain in that region?
How far can you see with the naked eye? It's not going to work.
Oh.
I thought it was a really good idea there.
Yeah.
It was a really good idea. But it's just the idea that that Jesus could have seen everything
mm-hmm.
Just by going to a high mountain is ridiculous. This verse is already figurative.
Right.
John Calvin actually wrote, if you want to say Galileo said the earth was round mm-hmm. and you want to believe that falsehood, then go for it. But John Calvin, who is a theologian, talking about this verse before Galileo lived, said this.
He said, we must keep in mind what I have already stated, that it was not owing to any weakness of Christ's nature, but to a voluntary dispensation and permission that Satan produced this effect upon his eyes.
Awesome. Okay. This is something that was produced upon his eyes. This is an effect.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a literal thing. Not even John Calvin thought he was literally seeing everything.
Right.
All right, I just Googled it. It's 30 miles you can see, according to Life Science.
Oh, wow. That's actually a lot farther than I thought.
Yeah.
But not quite as far as he's thinking.
Not multiple thousands of miles. So,
just missed it by a tad.
All right. We're gonna come back to the other side of the break, answer Bible contradiction, and we're going to blaze through a bunch of verses to show how the flat earth teachers misinterpret scripture.
And he's not being literal there. We're not going to actually set things on fire. We're going to just move through it quickly.
Aha! Because I said blaze
right,
through it.
You sure did.
See, man, it's a good thing you listen to me in the way that we interpret the Bible.
Right. If I lived 2,000 years ago, I'd be out of the room by now.
What?
Because you'd be blazing through it and I wouldn't know what blaze meant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
but yeah. So don't listen to me the way some of these people interpret the Bible.
Right.
You know, if you haven't listened to our Cracked acronym yet, you need to go to the website truthrevolution.tv and search for Cracked.
We'll go ahead and link to it from the show.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So just go to the website, find this show, and we'll link to the Cracked there show. Great stuff. We'll be right back.
Revolution Church.
Have you ever thought, gee, I'd like to go to church, and I really wish someone would make me get out of bed early?
Not me. I like my sleep.
We're just go with it. We're making an ad.
Okay. Yes, I have always wished someone would wake me up earlier.
Okay, I got lots of kids, so I'm already awake. New service time at Revolution Church, 8:30 a.m.
Cool, and for those of us who prefer beauty sleep, Revolution also has 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m.
Check out www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Revo.church.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
Do you know, or are you, a woman between 18 and 22 aging out of foster care or without a place to live?
If your goal is to continue your education, whether it's a college degree or GED, the Hope House may be the place for you.
Located in Salina, Kansas, Hope House is a beautiful home, providing not only a place to live, but a place to grow.
As a program of the Ashby House, Hope House provides dedicated volunteers and staff members who are there to help you accomplish your goals.
If this sounds like it might be a place for you or someone you know, please visit hopehouseks.org.
That's hopehouseks.org.
God cares more about the inside of a person than the outside.
So Revolution Church, we agree. Want to show up wearing old sweatpants and an eye patch? You're good.
What if they don't need an eye patch?
Literally doesn't matter.
We're more concerned about what God wants for you.
We do teaching from the Bible. It's in-depth, super practical, meaning...
Meaning there's not even time to waste on what someone is wearing.
Seriously, come on out. Maybe you'll find someone to swap an eye patch with.
www.revo.church.
That's R-E-V-O.church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
One of the things we find interesting is that humans have always believed in a God.
Even philosophers like Aristotle and Plato, who were ready to reject anything that wasn't logical, believed.
Author William Lane Craig has said, the ancient Greek philosophers were impressed with the order that pervades the cosmos, and many of them ascribed that order to the work of an intelligent mind who fashioned the universe.
He continues, the heavens in constant revolution across the sky were especially awesome to the ancients. Plato's Academy lavished extensive time and thought on the study of astronomy because Plato believed it was the science that would awaken man to his divine destiny.
Great point by Dr. Craig. In other words, the very fact that our universe is ordered instead of random and chaotic
should be a sign to us that some kind of ordered mind created the rules that govern the universe. It was not a random and chaotic accident.
Like it says in Romans 1:20.
Read more. Get Reasonable Faith by William Lane Craig.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back talking about the flat earth theory and why it's not biblical.
That's right. Okay, we nailed a couple of these down. Not literally nailed it down.
Right. Because we could still move things.
So we're using, again, colloquial language like the Bible does.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and listen to this guy's next point.
Another interesting example from Scripture is found in Joshua 10, where God caused the sun to stand still. It says, and the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. Joshua 10:13.
All right. And he continues to explain what this verse is about.
And he said, if the sun is at the center of the universe and the earth is orbiting around it, then for this event to occur, it had to have been the earth standing still, not the sun. However, if the earth is flat and the sun and moon rotate above us, it would make perfect sense for the sun to stand still in order to prolong the day here.
Okay. We have this thing when the sun goes, appears to go down. Mm-hmm. We call it a what?
A sunset.
That's right. And in the morning, it's called a
sunrise.
Are we all wrong? Are we wrong Could to be. Say I that mean, the sun sets and rises?
According to this guy here.
I mean... We use this colloquial language to explain it, even in the year 2018. When you go back 3,000 years and they say, and the sun stood still, you can't go, wow, that must mean the earth is flat.
Right.
Because for the for the sun to hold still, the earth had to be flat because the sun is the one that stopped moving, not the earth.
Makes total sense, Jeff.
And then some people, I mean, this is a miracle, okay? It's a miracle.
Absolutely.
This is not like some, God did a miraculous event here. I would dare to say that probably the earth didn't stop rotating. Probably the sun didn't hold still. God just made it seem like that to people. Mm-hmm. He, you know, put a light in the sky. I mean, God made blind people see. God took people with like skin lesions falling off, parts of their bodies falling off, and he healed them. Jesus did a miracle with a guy's ear that had been cut off. He put it back on. And if you were going to look at any of these things and go, well, how could that naturally have happened?
Right.
You're going to probably come up short. The point is that this was a miraculous happening. Warren Wiersbe, lived a long time ago. He wrote this.
This is the last miracle recorded in Joshua, and certainly the greatest. Joshua prayed for God's help, and the Lord answered in a remarkable way. This event is questioned by those who deny the reality of miracles and look only to science for truth. How could God stop the rotation of the earth and extend the length of the day, they ask, without creating chaos all over the planet? They seem to forget the fact that days are normally of different lengths in various parts of the world without the planet experiencing chaos. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I read the newspaper by sunlight in Norway. But how do you explain a miracle, any miracle?
Yeah, so, I mean, he gives, you know, a potential naturalistic explanation, but then goes on to say, but guys, really, it's a miracle. Any type of naturalistic explanation is ridiculous to put on this. And even if the earth was flat, and even if the sun did have to hold still, you're still going to end up with all sorts of scientific problems about what happens when the sun stops moving.
Right.
You're still going to run into scientific problems. So this is just a miracle. This is not proved flat earth at all. All right, let's go on. This is the next part we want to talk about is the firmament. Okay. There's this thing called the firmament. Let's go ahead and read this first verse. This is from Genesis 1:6.
All right. Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Genesis 1:6.
Okay, so a firmament is in the book of Genesis and in some other scriptures as well. The Bible talks about a firmament, and some people take this to be a solid dome-like structure that surrounded the earth that the Bible teaches. Now, we would agree that this is kind of what the Bible says. Okay, that's it. They are describing what they saw. It appeared as though there was a canvas over the earth, and they're just describing it. In Genesis 1:6-8, God said, let there be a vault between the water to separate the water from the water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Right. And so you have God making sky and then a firmament on top of that, which is interpreted to be some sort of solidish structure.
Right.
Now, some people take this and say, well, that's just talking about the atmosphere.
Right.
The flat earther here is saying, his point is, well, look, God actually was talking about a firmament on top, which is what the flat earthers would agree with for the most part. But he still ends up with a problem because he still, as a flat earther, doesn't believe there's a concrete dome around the earth.
Right.
But even if that were the case, there's a really good article. We're going to link to this as well by Dr. Hugh Henry. Okay. This guy's a physicist. He just has an interesting take on the whole thing. And this is on a blog on Reasons to Believe. So the word for firmament, he says, appears 7 times in Genesis 1. The King James Version translates it as firmament, and the curious word choice is carried over into the Revised Standard Version and the New King James Version and another modern English one, blah, blah, blah. But there are different ways to translate it, he says. It could be expanse, dome, vault, sky, space, or even horizon, air, and solid arch. So these various translations seem to convey contradictory concepts, which emphasizes the complex meaning of that Hebrew word. This complexity is reinforced by the fact that modern translations often use different contradictory words for this Hebrew word in different passages. The purpose of this paper is to propose a plausibility argument that the seemingly contradictory character of Rahia, that's the word, might be consistent with Einstein's theory of general relativity. Although one must be careful not to read too much science into Genesis, which we always say. Mm-hmm. The ancient Israelites seem to have understood this word as conveying a contradictory complexity that might have foreshadowed the revolutionary concept of 20th century physics. So you've got to read the article. We're going to link to it. I'm going to read a little bit from it because I want you to hear some of this. It's a fascinating concept that the fabric of space, you ever heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's going to kind of talk about the fabric of space and how, in a sense, the Bible is right to suggest that there is something there.
Right.
According to the ancient Hebrew tradition, God is beyond the Racha. This concept is also consistent. This concept is consistent with general relativity, which forms the basis for Big Bang Theory. This theory holds that the universe is expanding and may have a boundary.
Right.
A creator God must, by definition, be outside of that boundary. This is another startling biblical prediction foreshadowing 20th century physics. All right. In summary, interpreting this, and then I'm going to skip a bunch of the
argument. Right.
Interpreting this Hebrew word as the fabric of space seems to match quite well with its seven uses in Genesis 1. However, before making a definitive conclusion, it's necessary to consider the model in the context of its other uses in the Old Testament. And in order to follow a scientific method in our analysis, it's necessary to attempt to falsify this model, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so this guy's saying the fabric of space might be a good explanation and how the universe continues to expand. Right. And then there's this so-called brick wall where the universe ends before God's domain exists. And if you were to get to the end of the universe, you would run up against this brick wall. Here I am again. I'm even using the word brick wall. Right. I'm not trying to teach that there's a literal brick wall at the end of the universe.
Way to go, Jeff.
Got to be careful with these people, right? That there's this brick wall that you run up against and you're not going to be able to get outside of the universe.
Right.
So there is this firmament in a sense. So anyway, let's go on and read some other verses that they suggest or that they say suggests a flat earth.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go ahead and go with, you want me to go ahead and start right here?
No, let's go to page 8, Dave. It says 1 Chronicles 16:30.
Fear before him all the earth and the world also shall be stable that it shall not be moved.
Okay.
1 Chronicles 16:30.
So he says the earth shall not be moved. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's a sphere, it moves, it rotates. Mm-hmm. And he says, so it doesn't move. The earth doesn't move. Well, let's just read this in context. 1 Chronicles 16 says, ascribe to the Lord all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Okay, it's talking about how awesome God is. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Is this saying like, here's verse upon verse going, God is awesome, God is awesome, God is awesome. By the way, the earth is flat. God is awesome, God is awesome. That's not what it's saying.
That's a very good point.
The point is the world is firmly established. All it's saying is God is in total control. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about the world disappearing someday. Amen. God's in control of it.
Right.
That's all it's trying to say. The second one here. You know what? We got to answer Bible contradiction before we get out of here.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, did Jesus teach resistance or non-resistance? Luke 22 says, then said he unto them, but now he hath that purpose. Let him take, and likewise his scrip. Let him take it. And likewise, that's what I said, his scrip. And that he hath no sword. Let him sell his garment and buy one.
Okay, and then John 2, where Jesus whips some donkeys and kicks over a table.
Right, and then that's verses going against Matthew 5:39 says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn them also to the other.
Okay, good. So is he peaceful or non-peaceful?
Right.
Look, when Jesus kicked over the table in the sanctuary, Jesus as God on earth has the right to do things that you and I don't have the right to do.
Amen.
Period. And this verse about where Jesus says, take a sword, that is the hardest to interpret verse in the entire Bible. There's like a dozen different interpretations of this, but none of them are that Jesus wanted people to buy swords and kill people.
Right.
That no theologian has ever suggested that's what it means.
Right, because it goes against the entire personality of Jesus.
Right. Now, there are some modern like evangelicals saying, see, buy a gun because of this verse, but they're not theologians. No theologian I'm aware of has ever thought this meant that we should do violence.
Right.
So interpret it correctly. When Jesus says, do not resist evil, turn the other cheek, love your enemy, he's teaching non-resistance. He's teaching loving your enemy. All right. Amen. Now, back to Flat Earth. We're about done. Got like 15 seconds left. Every time you read a verse, read it in context. Mm-hmm. Do our correct acronym. Pray about it. The Holy Spirit will teach you the truth. A for author's intention. What is God trying to communicate? What is the dialect? What type of language is being used? Never does the Bible try to teach the earth is flat. Always read it in context.